Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. The one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask this morning that you would speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit through your word. Give us eyes to see when we are blind. Give us ears to hear when we are deaf. We pray, even Lord Jesus, that you would raise the dead this morning, that those who are here this morning, dead in their trespasses and sin, without hope, we pray that you would give them hope, that you would indeed quicken them to life, and that you would cause them to trust in your unfailing love. I pray this morning, Heavenly Father, that you would enable me to speak your word faithfully and with power. Thank you, Father, that you use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise and the weak of this world to confound the strong. That your glory may be seen. I pray this morning, Father, that through me your glory may shine forth. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. At our house, one of the favorite toys is the very simple wooden block. I grew up playing with wooden blocks. How many of you had a set of, it looked like two-by-fours that had been sawed up and polished over or something like that? I had a pretty good set when I was a kid, but I must say, I've given my children a much bigger set. We have a basket about this big around and about this high full of wooden blocks that sits in our living room. And when the days are rainy and the television is banned, quite often the kids will dump out that gigantic basket of blocks and begin building forts, castles, towers, farms, buildings, all sorts of structures. Not too long ago, the roadies were at our house, and Al set to work building an elaborate structure, and he built himself a fort around himself. He looked like King Al Rody as he sat behind his wooden block palace. But more often than not, the challenge or the temptation is to see how big of a structure you can build, how high of a tower you can erect in the middle of the living room. I have pictures of my daughter Glory completely surrounded by blocks 2 or 3 feet over her head. I have pictures of towers that my children have built that are as tall as I am. But the problem is, whenever you go for great height with these blocks, is you have to skimp on the foundation. There are not enough blocks to build out the foundation wide and strong, and as the tower grows higher and higher, there is great fear and trepidation. Everyone in the room begins to walk on eggshells. Everyone screaming at each other, "Don't come near my tower! Don't throw that pillow! Watch out, here comes Glory! Don't let Vincent in the room! The tower will crumble!" Any slight movement the wrong way will cause the structure to collapse, and there's great danger in that. You can be sitting clear across the room, and when an 8-foot tower falls, you might get a block upside the head. Watch out when the tower collapses. And it invariably will when it has not been built with a firm, solid foundation. A point that Jesus makes very clearly and profoundly in our text this morning. But as we have done each week as we've looked at the parables, it's very important for us to examine the context and see who Jesus was speaking to when he told this story, when he gave them this parable. Because knowing who he was addressing and the context in which the story came about, we begin to get a glimpse at the meaning and the understanding that Jesus intended for his audience that day and for us. This particular parable is found in the section of teaching by Jesus that is often called the Sermon on the Plain, in contrast to the Sermon on the Mount. The text where we find Jesus going off with his disciples, and many of his followers, a large number of disciples, the text say, gathered together there on the plain, and Jesus began to teach him some of the very familiar passages that we also find in the Sermon on the Mount, some of the Beatitudes, and some of the woes that are given to those who would not keep God's word. And Jesus goes on and is instructing his followers, the people who have been listening to the things that he has been teaching. He's instructing and speaking to people who have been listening and following after him. Jesus makes it very clear who he's speaking to when he begins the parable. The first words of our text were, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord?" Jesus is speaking very clearly to those who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ. You see, this is not like many of the parables in which Jesus is going after his enemies. It's not like the parables where Jesus is trying to point out the sins of his enemies. Here he is talking very directly to those who profess to follow after him. The problem is though they have heard the truth, and though they have acknowledged it to be truth, and though they have professed to follow after that truth, they have failed to put it into practice in their lives. So this morning, let's take a few moments and look at the two contrasting builders that Jesus presents to us today. And let's begin with those builders who build without a foundation. Those builders who build without a foundation. One of the things that we need to see, first off, is that quite often when folks build a building without a foundation, things look great on the outside. Above the surface, everything looks spectacular. I can tell you, some of those towers that have been built in our living room that we have photos of are indeed spectacular. I mean, they look great. You go, how did a four-year-old build this elaborate six-foot-tall tower with all these fancy parapets and, you know, other structures along the side? It's amazing. It looks great. I think about this whenever I see a Gallup poll that tells us that 80% of all Americans are born again, that tells us that 93% of all people in America believe the Bible is true in God's Word, that some ridiculous percentage of Americans believe in a literal hell. Over and over again, we hear these statistics, and they look great on the surface. If you examine them at face value for what you see, they're encouraging. They would give you great hope. You would think, what a fantastic building, what a fantastic profession these people are making. And quite often, as long as life goes along without any storms, things continue to look very good. As we examine the lives of people around us, as we examine our own lives, quite often we can put on a great impression to others that we are true followers of Jesus Christ and that our lives are in line with His Word. On the surface, things look peachy. But the problem is, in every life, storms come. Storms come. The winds blow. Trouble enters our life. And at that moment, we begin to see the true nature of the structure. You see, when Vincent comes tearing through the living room, chasing Pablo, pull out. If he gets a fraction too close to the tower, it quickly tumbles. And so in the lives of those who only profess the truth, who acknowledge the truth but fail to put it into practice, when the storms of life, when trials and troubles come, the tower is bound to fall. Charles Spurgeon preached a sermon on this particular text, and he talked about those who are foundationless builders, and he talked about them as talkers of faith. Talkers of the faith. And he had this to say: the common temptation is, instead of really repenting, to talk about repentance. Instead of heartily believing, to say, I believe, without believing. Instead of truly loving, to talk of love without loving. Instead of coming to Christ, to speak about coming to Christ and profess to come to Christ and yet not to come at all. The character of talkative in Pilgrim's Progress is ably drawn. I have met the gentleman many times and can bear witness that John Bunyan was a photographer before photography was invented. Christian said of him, of Talkative, he talketh of prayer, of repentance, of faith, and of new birth, but he knows but only to talk of them. I have been in his family, and his house is as empty of religion as the white of an egg is of savor. We have too many such persons around us who are, as to what they say, everything that is to be desired, and yet, by what they are proven to be, mere shams. John Bunyan knew of those who talked the talk. Charles Spurgeon spoke of those who talked the talk and yet failed to have that foundation firmly set in Christ. Does this description fit your Christianity? Is that what your faith is like this morning? Easy to profess, easy to talk about following Christ, easy to acknowledge spiritual things, and yet having no foundation. If that's true of you, you should be careful to take heart Christ's message in the parables of the wise and the foolish builders, and take it as a warning to give thought to the foundations of your own life. I would encourage you this morning to dig in deep and anchor your life in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and dig in deep and anchor yourself in His Word. That leads us to the other characters in the parable, the one Jesus begins with, the wise builders. What does it mean for us to dig down deep and to lay a foundation? Jesus, in the parable here, is talking about obeying His teaching. Jesus repeats this parable in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, and there as well He talks about following His teaching and obeying His Word. So what does that mean for us? Does it mean then, if we want to have a firm foundation, if we want our life to be secure in Christ, that we have to gut it out and obey and do everything in such a way, live in order to please God? Continually doing and doing and doing in order to have the kind of life that Christ expects us to have? You know, if you've heard me preach more than once, that that's not the message of Scripture. That Jesus isn't calling His listeners that day to just get better, to do more, to live right in order to please God. So what is He saying then? There is certainly a call to obedience in this text, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. I don't want to diminish Christ's call on us to obedience. But as we examine the testimony of Scripture, even as we examine the text before us this morning, Jesus is calling us to much more than just doing certain things in our life in order to earn God's favor. He's calling us to build upon Himself. You see, when you examine the testimony of Scripture, when you look throughout God's Word, more often than not, the word rock or foundation is used in Scripture to describe God, His Anointed One, and the Messiah. The testimony of Scripture is that Jesus is the rock. Jesus is our foundation. We see it in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I lay in Zion a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. The Apostle Paul writes about it in his letter to the church at Ephesus in chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. He says this, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. When Peter preached in Acts chapter 4 and spoke before the Sanhedrin, in Acts chapter 4, verse 11, we read, He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Peter fleshed that out again in 1 Peter, in his letter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. He says this, actually beginning at verse 4, he says, As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. You see, over and over again, we see the very clear picture in Scripture, and the testimony of God's Word is that Jesus Himself is the rock. Jesus Himself is the sure foundation. And if we are going to live a life of faithful obedience, if we are going to follow after Christ with all of our hearts, we have to build on that rock, on that foundation. That was the message that Paul gave in 1 Corinthians 3, our scripture lesson today. It's not Paul, it's not Apollos, it's not Cephas, it's Jesus Christ Himself, the foundation, the cornerstone of our life. If you want a life that will last for eternity, Jesus is saying throughout Scripture and in our parable today, build on me. That is why we sang this morning that wonderful hymn, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." Now we must remember, though, that when we truly build our lives on the foundation of Jesus Christ, it will cause us to look radically different. It will cause real change to take place in our life. And that's the message of what Jesus is saying in this parable. If you are truly being built on the foundation of Christ, your life will look different to those around you. If your hope is truly in Christ, if you allow Him to change your life, if you allow the teaching of Jesus about Himself, the message that He is your hope and He is your salvation, to take root in your life, then your life will look radically different. Your life will be characterized by love. Your life will be a picture of the gospel at work in the world. Again, we go back to the context in which we find Jesus' message of the story of the wise and foolish builders. Jesus gave us so much wonderful teaching in that passage. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verses 27 through 31. Again, characteristics of those whose life, their foundation is built on Christ. Jesus says, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will also be measured to you." These are characteristics of the person whose foundation is built upon Christ. The one whose foundation is dug down deep into the love of Christ and the Word of God and the person of the Lord Jesus will be characterized by love, by faithfulness, and by obedience. A final thing I think we must see from this parable is that storms will indeed come. The text doesn't say if a storm comes, or if winds blow, or if trials happen to come your way. The text says when the storm comes, when the winds blow, when the trials come, when the torrent strikes. And this is true in your life. This is true in all of our lives. I don't have to sit here and give you illustration and testimony of the fact that if you're a human being, you're going to experience hard times and suffering and struggles in your life. Quite often there are those who would call themselves preachers of God's Word who will deceive the people of God and say, "If you'll just come to Christ, everything will be easy. God will shower you with blessings. You'll have great prosperity. You'll have no more troubles and trials in your life." That's a foundation made on sand. It's hopeless because what will happen is trials will come and sorrow and heartache and hardship will enter your life. And if you came expecting that not to happen, your house is going to be destroyed. that's going to wash away because your faith was in prosperity and blessing instead of in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Following after Jesus does not exempt us from suffering. We have to be grounded in the foundation of Christ in order to withstand the storms and the torrents that are certainly going to come our way. One of the greatest blessings that I have as your pastor is spending time with you in your lives during the midst of hardships and sorrows and struggles. Because I hear time and time again testimonies of God's faithfulness in your lives. And when those sufferings and trials and torrential storms come into your life, your foundation is revealed. Most of you know I announced last week that dear sweet Imogene Laird has been diagnosed with very serious and advanced pancreatic and liver cancer. And I want to tell you what an encouragement and a joy it was for me this week to sit with her in the hospital and to hear her talk not about how unfair it is that she has been struck with this disease, how sad she is that she is having to go through this physical suffering and trial, but instead to hear her talk about and testify of the great and glorious grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to her, and how undeserving she feels of His love, but the confidence that she has that when He calls her home, that she will stand before Him in His presence, full of great joy, because her faith and her trust is in that blessed Savior. The foundation of her life is Christ, the solid rock. I hope that when the day comes and you face death, that you'll be able to give the same testimony, that your foundation will be firm and secure in the person of Jesus Christ, that you will trust in Him and you will know the truth of His atoning work on your behalf. James Boyce, in his commentary on the parables, relates this story about the life of Dr. Joseph Parker. He has this to say. Dr. Joseph Parker of London, the noted English preacher who for many years proclaimed the Word of God in the great city temple, tells in his autobiography that there was a time when he gave too much attention to the modern theories of his day. Men were reasoning and speculating and undervaluing the Word of God. And he found himself, as he read in their books and mingled in their meetings, losing his grip intellectually upon the great fundamental doctrine of salvation alone through the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he tells us that there came into his life the most awful sorrow that he had ever had to bear. His devoted wife, whom he loved so tenderly, was stricken and in a few short hours was snatched away from him. He was unable to share his grief with others, and walking through those empty rooms of his home with a breaking heart, his misery felt for some footing in modern theory, and there was none. And then, he said, addressing a company of his congregational brethren, "My brethren, in those hours of darkness, in those hours of my soul's anguish, when filled with doubt and trembling and fear, I bethought myself of the old gospel of redemption alone through the blood of Christ, the gospel that I had preached in those earlier days, and I put my foot down on that. And my brethren, I found firm standing. I stand there today and I shall die resting on that blessed, glorious truth of salvation alone through the precious blood of Christ." What a testimony. What a glorious message that on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I would ask you this morning, are you a wise or foolish builder? Have you heard the message and proclaimed it to be true and said that you believe and talked about repentance and yet failed in your heart to really do those things? Or have you, like the wise builder, dug down deep and set your feet firmly on the foundation that is Jesus Christ? If you haven't done that today, I pray that you would. That you would come to know the glorious Savior, the solid rock, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks this morning that we can indeed have a sure and firm foundation in the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you that when all around us is sinking sand, when we are buffeted on every side by storms and by trials, by suffering and hardship, we can cling to Christ, our anchor, our hope, our trust, our glory, and our joy. I would ask this morning, Lord, that you would help us each to evaluate our hearts, to examine where the foundation of our life is laid. And if there's any here this morning who have not put their faith and hope in Christ, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would quicken into life, that you would give them the gift of repentance and the gift of faith, that they might embrace that glorious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.